Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I am the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. It is my absolute privilege and pleasure to welcome you to the Tuesday night More Heart Than Talent Mindset Call. We are in week one. It is the first Tuesday of April, the fourth month of 2015. What a great year it is already in 2015. 90 days plus some change are in the books. We're well into the second quarter of this outstanding year. Many of you are experiencing just fantastic results as business owners, internet marketers, direct sales superstars, real estate investors, and entrepreneurs in free enterprise. And it's my absolute honor to be able to host this call for you each and every Tuesday night call, every Tuesday night. I've been hosting this call for 18 plus years. This call is officially being recorded right now and available on playback tomorrow at noon Eastern Standard Time, 9 Pacific. And that where you can access those calls is calls, calls.goldenmastermind.com. On any given Wednesday, just like any given Sunday, on any given Wednesday, we have anywhere from 1,000 to 3,000 people who access our recorded calls. Many of our calls go back to 2010, and some of the most exceptional people I've had the privilege of interviewing on this call. Without a doubt, the most popular call that I have hosted in the last 18 years with a Joe Dispenza call 3 weeks ago. If you're brand new to the call, you definitely want to listen to that call. That call is receiving 5, 6, 7, 8 different replays by many people listening to that call. I'm going to cover a few quick announcements, then we'll move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. I've been a personal success coach and mentor to many entrepreneurs across the United States, Canada, Australia, and a few countries across the globe. Most of my coaching is done in Canada, United States, and some in Australia. I've coached well over 9,000, approaching 10,000 clients, a combination of over 50,000 plus hours. A few of my clients have gone on to become 6- and 7-figure income earners in their enterprises. I want to congratulate some of you who on tonight's call who absolutely are breaking records, especially Jennifer Trinkner, who unequivocally is going to be one of my next millionaires I've had the privilege of coaching, Jennifer, Tara Romano, C.G. Siddons, and Alexis Romano, and Susan Sly, unequivocally are some of the most exceptional women I've ever had the privilege of coaching in my career, along with Arthur Tubman, Chad Wade, Mark Hoverson, and a whole series of internet marketers and direct sales superstars who I've had the privilege of coaching have gone on to become 7-figure income earners. Now, to reach that select status and group, you have to have millionaire habits. On our next Tuesday night's call, I'm going to bring one of the most exceptional people that I've ever coached, C.G. Siddons, will be my guest. I'll be interviewing C.G. on what she went through, the process of evolution, to become the 7-figure income earner she's in the process of becoming. Later in the spring, right before summer, Jennifer Trinkner will also be sharing what has happened to her in her last 4 years, 2 years, and last 12 months of evolution to become a 7-figure income earner, a stay-at-home mom from the comfort of her home. So those will once again be great interviews for you to access. I'm right now in the process of booking a speaker for the November 7th event. I've hosted a few millionaire blueprints. Now I'm going to do a one-day millionaire blueprint in Newark, New Jersey with Alexis Romano on Saturday, November 7th. This will not be a two-day event. This will be a one-day event, possibly a Friday evening for some of my select clients. But as of right now, it will be an all-day event with room for 1,000 people. I'm in the process right now of negotiating with Joe Montana's office and Simon Sinek's office. What a great opportunity that would be to have at least one of those speakers at a one-day event for a two-hour keynote. I will speak in the morning. Alexis will speak in the afternoon, along with one of those two or one other additional speaker. And I'm going to bring you some of the greatest inspiration in two- and one-day events in 2015 and 2016. March 19th, I've already booked Dr. Joe Dispenza for an event in New Jersey at the Newark Doubletree Hotel. That's where I'll be doing a lot of my events by popular demand. This Saturday, I will be in Cleveland, Ohio. First time I've been in Cleveland since 2005, April 18th. I'll be sharing an event with Alexis Romano in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. My good friend and exceptional businesswoman, Carlotta Davis, and I will be in Houston, Texas. For the first time for me since 2010, I'll be in Long Island on May 2nd with Kelly Bartoletti and Joy Schoenholtz. I'll be hosting my own event. It will be a sold-out event in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, May 9th. Boston, Massachusetts on the 30th of May. Now, that event in Boston, Massachusetts, it is a rock star hotel. That's the Hilton Hotel at Logan Airport, a fabulous place to host an event. June 6th, I'll be in Norwalk, Connecticut. June 20th, Bridget Bartlett, I have the privilege of being in her hometown in beautiful Spartanburg, South Carolina. June 27th, I just put on the books Baltimore, Maryland. So that is going to be a fabulous event, my first event in Baltimore since 2011. July 18th, I'll be in Newark with Alexis Romano. I'll be in Charleston on October 3rd with Bridget and some of her teammates and Jennifer. And then November 7th, I will have my one-day event, Millionaire Blueprint, in Newark, New Jersey, as I said, with Simon Sinek, Joe Montana, or someone of that type of magnitude. It's amazing what top-tier speakers get compensated for their value in free enterprise, and I'll share a little bit about that with you at some point, how to really raise your value. You don't ever raise your prices. You raise your value in free enterprise. If you're serious and want to take your game to the next level and want to find out more about my coaching, the thing to do is just go hire me. That's how you'll find out the most about it. And if you're serious, you can contact me at 209-932-0227. For the next several Sundays, Chris Shar, myself, and Ilan Amir, and I were going into the Golden Mastermind Boiler Room. I will be filming for the next 8 consecutive Sundays for 2 new products I will be launching on July 1st. On or around July 1st, I will launch my first ever online coaching program. This will be coaching for people who want to take advantage of videos. They want to start at a little lesser value, and I'll be able to provide that for you with my online coaching. It will not be the same as one-on-one coaching, but you'll get the gist of what I can assist you with to overcome some of your anxieties, procrastinations, enhance your ability to brand, write better sales copy, how to let go of anxiety that keeps you doing the same thing over and over. And at the same time, consecutively, I will also be launching my first ever coaching certification program. I already have in the queue waiting. 31 people are waiting for that program to launch. Now, that will be a multitude of videos that will assist you to become a certified success coach. I will certify you as a Golden Mastermind Seminar Success Coach. I will be giving you access to some of my 15-minute leads. A select few of you will be invited to a one-day or a two-and-a-half-day workshop in Stockton, California, where we will be doing live prospecting for coaching leads, and I will unequivocally show you how to create a 6- and 7-figure coaching business. I must say, no one can show you better than me because it is what I've been living for the last 18-plus years. On any given Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I will be coaching anywhere from 12 to 14 hours with a 12 to 14-hour waiting list. I will show you how to create the compounded effect, create the centrifugal force to attract your attractor factor to create that kind of enterprise from the comfort of your home. This will not be not only for to coach to have a coaching business, but to be able to coach your teams. So I'll be launching that product, as I said, on July 1st. And with that, we will move into the inspiration portion of tonight's call. One of my favorite topics, how to let go and release and heal the addicted soul. Now, if you've ever had an addiction or found yourself overwhelmed, feel out of control, feel controlled by your anxiety, if you've ever procrastinated, gotten ready to get ready, if you've ever sabotaged yourself, if you've ever found yourself upside down emotionally, breaking down, not breaking through, or using food, drugs, sex, compulsive spending, gambling, any multitude of situations, pharmaceutical medication, alcohol, or any multitude of situations to stuff a feeling, then you probably have some addiction challenges. Does that mean that you're a full-fledged, bona fide, out-of-control addict? Not necessarily. But if you have addiction tendencies, then you will also have tendencies to sabotage. That would be referred in Wikipedia as the Jonah Complex. The Jonah Complex is a biblical story about Jonah. Jonah was asked by God to go out and do an errand for God. Jonah got overwhelmed about the prospect of taking on such a task that he made much bigger than it was. Jonah was sent to teach the people. Jonah didn't feel qualified. Jonah escaped. He got in a boat and decided to go to a different land. God was very upset with Jonah, created a turbulence in the waters. Jonah got tossed out of the boat, swallowed by a whale for 3 days, spit back onto land. Jonah came to his senses and went and served God. The Jonah Complex is a direct reflection of the cause and the effect of why we sabotage ourselves. Have you ever found yourself in momentum, then all of a sudden you got so overwhelmed and so anxious? How am I going to keep it? I'm not that good of a leader. The self-talk kicks in. You go into a stage of fight or flight. You become very anxious, and your body craves something to stuff it with. The next thing you know, you're standing at the refrigerator. The next thing you know, you're in the bar pounding down a couple of shots. The next thing you know, you're out compulsively buying, compensatory spending, buying stuff that you don't even require. If you have these kind of tendencies, then you have addiction tendencies. Now, addiction tendencies, once again, do not mean that you're a full-fledged, bona fide addict. But if you have addiction tendencies, you will also have sabotage tendencies. Sabotage tendencies will also break down to procrastination tendencies. Now, if you say to yourself that I am the world's worst procrastinator, if you say, yeah, that's me, if you check out and laugh and go, ha, 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 that is me, a procrastinator, that is not funny. That is anxiety. Your body has now gone into an emotional state called fight or flight. You are unequivocally overwhelmed. You have shut down some of the oxygen in your brain. The neurological network that has a reticular activating system has gone out and reached for neurons that wire and fire together. As those neurons wire and fire together, they come together and they collapse. That collapse of those neurons create a feeling. That feeling becomes a mood. That mood becomes an identity. And I am my own saboteur. What many people do in sabotaging their success, they do this because they're addicted to an emotion. Now, I'm going to cover for you tonight the cause that creates the effect. And you're not an addict because you're an addict. You don't sabotage or because you're a saboteur. You don't procrastinate because you're a procrastinator. You don't get ready to get ready because you're getting ready. And you don't underachieve and under-earn because you're a career under-earner. You do this because a series of events have shaped your feelings. And it's not just the event. It's how you perceive an event. It's how you store an event. It's how you hold an event. And most importantly, it's the story and the significance you create around the event. Now, the most common commonality that you will encounter, many people are shocked when it's pointed out to them that there are food addicts. The most common addiction that will plague not only America, not only Canada, is obesity. Obesity is a direct reflection of many diseases. But most importantly, obesity is a direct reflection of events that create feelings that then require being stuffed. And if you have to really take a good look at your identity with food. Anytime you begin to address cause and effect or break down a situation for what it is, you want to learn to do this. Be objective. But if you're judgmental, if you're your worst critics, if you judge yourself very harshly, if you judge other people, if you're a perfectionist, a neurotic perfectionist, if you spend a lot of time getting ready to get ready, if you analyze, think, process, get overwhelmed in any of these emotional states, these are going to be a direct reflections of the emotions you are addicted to. That would be anger, hate, resentment, guilt, shame, abandonment, rejection, and overwhelmed feelings. These type of emotions lead to a different type of emotional state called doubt. Doubt is the space between fear and faith. You're in and you're not in. You're out, but you're not out. You're not committed, but you're really committed. You can decide, but you haven't decided, and you stay in a place called doubt. It's the space between fear and faith. It keeps you safe and keeps you disappointed. And if you are one of these people that constantly say, I don't want to fail, my biggest challenge is I fear failure, you're addicted to your emotions of rejection and abandonment. That's typically the identity that you've created, which will then create judgment. Now, that's not the addiction, that's the emotion. The more you understand this, why I do what I do, the more you understand your team. I was coaching one of my exceptional clients today, Jennifer Trinkner, and she and I were having a conversation about typically what happens in human behavior, how predictable human beings are. Human beings are predictable, and the more you understand why people do what they do, the more you understand cause and effect, the better that you are equipped to not get disappointed, the better you are equipped to let go emotionally. But if you get sucked in, seduced, dragged in, you get overwhelmed, and you feel guilty and resentful, or any situation, a spiritual or emotional vampire, a classic passive-aggressive personality or personality that's aggressive seduces you into conflict and or an argument or defending yourself, explaining and or justifying, you're going to be in an overwhelmed state, off to the races, talking. That is verbal vomit, diatribe, drunkologues, in a whole series of language that is not conducive to you creating a result. I've coached many people that I ask a question and I will say, Susan, do you remember the question I asked you? And then they will check out, donut process, and go, well, not really. The reason that people don't remember the question, because they're in an outer body state based on a past event where they've checked out of their body, they've never come back officially into it. They live in about half or a fourth of their upper body, overwhelmed, processing, thinking, and analyzing. You cannot succeed in your own enterprise in that. Now, you can succeed in a job because a job teaches you job skills. There's a blueprint, a recipe, a cubicle. There's a garage, there's a bus, there's a building, there's a desk where you teach at, there's a set of criteria, you're told what to do, and you can tiptoe quietly through life, arrive at your grave safely at about 60, 75, 80,000 a month, have your nice little 401 no-K, and end up financially and emotionally challenged, and your headstone will say, tiptoed quietly through life, arrived at grave safely, died greatest death, pain of regret. Unfortunately, that's what a lot of people do. They die in the pain of regret, obese, overwhelmed, and addicted. Now, if you are serious, not curious, if you're committed, if you're decisive, if the pain is great enough, when life is precious because there's less to lose, when you understand that whole context, it's not a concept, it's a reality. When you step into the reality zone and you realize that you are a full-fledged, bona fide addict, the pain is great enough, and you are ready to let go of the cause that creates the effect, then you can begin the recovery process. If you're an addicted procrastinator, you're going to burn your most valuable commodity time. You're going to spend a lot of your time overwhelmed in your head. An addict spends a lot of time in control, not controlling their relatives, their spouse, their significant other, not their teammates. They spend a lot of their time in control, controlling the outcome that sometimes they don't think they can control. And even though you want to let go of control, when control is your control, you'll end up out of control of the control you think you're controlling, because control is a myth. Control is an illusion. Control is like pressure. It's an illusion. There is no pressure. Pressure is the ego's way of overwhelming you. Pressure is what you tell yourself to go into fight or flight, to check out, to be worried. Now, if you're a chronic worrier, that is an addiction. How many of you realistically, objectively, can state yourself that you're a chronic worrier? And how do you let go of worrying? Well, first of all, ask yourself this. What value does any addiction get me? That would be the starting point. Then you want to ask yourself, how much pain am I in? Do I deserve to live in this kind of pain? Then you also have to ask yourself, my self-talk. How conducive is my self-talk to being successful? Well, it's probably not really successful when you tell yourself how you're not good enough, when you judge yourself, when you get overwhelmed, when you get worried about the future. And I've had people say to me, well, if I let go of my worry, what would I do with my time? As far-fetched as that sound, I've actually had many people say that to me. Well, who would I be if I didn't worry? I grew up in a family that worried. My mother has those blemishes on her hand. They're called worry warts. And there is no such thing as a worry wart. A worrier is someone who chronically is overwhelmed. That's what a worrier is. A worrier is someone who has anxiety about what they cannot control, so they stay in control of what they can control, worry. Worry is an anxious state perpetuated about events that were out of control as a child. Typically, those out of events that happen as a child creates an outer body state. I'm worried all the time because I grew up in unpredictability. If you grew up in unpredictability and you use terms like I have to walk on pins and needles, I walk on eggshells, that means that children are to be seen, not heard. There's a high probability that you have challenges with getting into trouble, making mistakes, and being judged. Then you're typically going to have anxiety about failing. These are the feelings that create your addictions. Then once you start to become fully fledged and addicted to this kind of emotional state, that's when the outer addictions begin. That's when the pharmaceutical medication kicks in. You go to a doctor, you tell a doc you're short of breath, I had a meltdown. You tell a doctor, I think I had an outer body experience. You tell a doctor, you have depression. Once you enter into that hands-on zone, baby, now it's pharmaceutical medication or us. You'll be standing at the line on Saturdays and on weekends for the red pill and the blue pill. You'll be on Klonopin, Ambien, Adderall. You'll be on the laxatives. You will be on the synthetic heroines. You'll be on the barbiturates. Now, the problem with that medication is it's extremely habit-forming, and it's not only emotionally addicting, but it's physically addicting because there are acute side effects to that kind of pharmaceutical medication. Pharmaceutical medication has a purpose and a place, but if you get handed those type of barbiturates, tranquilizers, synthetic heroin, methamphetamines, like they are candy and you pop them in your mouth, Xanax and all the other situations, and it takes the edge off, because here's why. An addict always wants a little more. An addict wants to experience that high or that low. Addicts live somewhere between a low high or between a high high and a low low. I'm going to reframe that. Addicts live between a high high and a low low. And if you live in that state, you get really excited. Oh, my God, I'm breaking through. And when you get that kind of excited, I just met someone. My whole life is going to change. You're headed for a relapse. An addict's worst nightmare is a relapse. That means you revert back to that which is familiar. Now, how do I, you, me, us, how do I address an addiction? You do it one day at a time. So if you're a procrastinator, you have to change your association with procrastination. First of all, stop reinforcing how much of a procrastinator you are. Be objective, be honest about it, but don't make procrastination or any addiction your identity. When your addiction becomes your identity, you have now quantified the difficulty in releasing yourself from that addiction, because once that addiction is your identity, you're not only emotionally addicted, you sometimes become physically addicted and you become chronically addicted. Once you become chronically addicted, a large percent of your time will be consumed controlling your addiction. When you're in control of your addiction, it means you romance it, you hate it, you love it, you despise it, you hate yourself, and you go through this whole up and down syndrome about how you're going to pull it off, how you're going to hide it, how you're going to stuff it, how you're going to sneak it. Now, some of the biggest sneaks are food and alcohol and drug addicts, but specifically food and alcoholics. I ask a lot of my clients these questions. Have you ever snuck food? Whenever they say, I know the answer, because an addict is a pathological liar. That doesn't mean that you're a liar in society, but you will lie to hide, cover up, to continue to romance your addiction. If you've ever had wrappers, boxes, bags of food, and you stuffed them in your coat, you stuffed them in your car seat, you stuffed them in a bag, and you sneak them to the trash can, you're an addict. Anytime you have to sneak an addiction, anytime you have to plan your addiction, then you have addiction challenges. I'll give you a hint. People who are not addicted, don't have a romance with it, don't spend a lot of time with it, don't have to pre-plan it, pre-package it, get ready, don't have to spend a lot of time calculating how they're going to pull it all off. Now, the number one addiction is food. Food is easy access. Alcohol is easy access, but food's a lot easier to put your hands on, to put your mouth on. Typically, all you have to do is walk to the refrigerator because you romance the grocery store. There's a fascination with the grocery store. Once you enter into the hands-free zone, because that's typically what happens, when you're a compulsive spender, a compulsive buyer, and a food addict, your grocery bill shows it. Because you go into a grocery store and you're pushing that cart down the aisle and the back of your mouth is salivating. Your mouth has actually secreted a biochemical called dopamine. You have created the romance. Have you ever been so addicted that you opened a package of food while you're in the grocery store? You ever open a bag of chips in a grocery store? You ever pop a Coca-Cola, a Pepsi-Cola, or most importantly, one of the most disgusting beverages ever made to mankind, a Mountain Don't or Mountain Dew? Have you ever opened one of those in a grocery store? But it's because you start to romance the taste, because that kind of drug of choice takes the edge off. And once you enter into this hands-free zone, you start filling up your cart with situations that you don't even require. You may have a list, but you will blow that list because you have a credit card, a debit card. You don't keep track of your spending. You don't have tabs on your money. You don't care. You just got paid. You're going to run up the tab. And then you go out of that store. You don't even look at how much you spent. You didn't invest. You spent on bad food, and you bought about $400 worth of Twinkies, Ho-Hos, Ding Dongs, snowballs. Remember those pink and white snowballs? You bought jams, jellies, fruits, and you bought a lot of stuff. And when you get home, it's, oh, my God, it's fill those cupboards, fill that refrigerator, because you might require it. And see, when you have a bad day, it's real easy to go to the pantry, the cupboard, the refrigerator to stuff an emotional feeling. When you call someone and they say, where did you get my number, and you donut, you end up eating a donut. When you eat a donut, it's instant gratification for future pain. It's like, takes the edge off. Then now you're lazy. Now you can't go back to prospecting because you feel so good. You got that instant gratification that dulled your senses, took the pain off, that pain of rejection that didn't really happen, because all someone said is, where'd you get my name? And when someone didn't buy from you and you turned it into rejection, you got overwhelmed and you went to the store to buy something you do not require. When you do situations like that, or when you have to take a shot of courage and you sneak Papa vodka, you got a bottle in your desk because you saw it in a movie with a private eye had a shot of red eye, and now you got one in your desk. You know you're an addict when you drink Listerine or you drink NyQuil as your drink of choice. I've done it all. I've dipped so far as to drink NyQuil and Listerine. I've drank Scope. I've drank any multitude of situations that had a very high alcohol content, because when you're a full-fledged addict, any old thing will do. When you have that edgy edge, that grindy grind going on, when you feel less than, when you feel overwhelmed, when you feel discouraged, when no one's giving you the love, when you're watching other people rank advance and you're watching other people make to the top, and you're telling your friends and your teammates, I'm really happy for you, but silent, you are pissed off because no one's giving you the love. You're not rank advancing. You're on the inside, upside down of a leg going nowhere. No one's stacked any volume in your team. No one's building down in depth with you, and you are one pissed off victim. So what are you going to do? You're going to stuff a feeling. You're going to procrastinate. You're going to get ready. You're going to listen to a download. You're going to listen to that guy Simon Sinek. You're going to watch some Tony Robbins. You're going to get out your workbook. You're going to listen to some podcast. You're going to listen to Jim Rohn, you're going to listen to Napoleon Hill, and you're going to be educated. You got yourself almost a master's degree in personal development. Your whole shelf is filled, and it's called Shelf Help. You've got cassettes from the 70s. You got a VHS called The Greatest Secret by Earl Nightingale. Hell, you could do a seminar. You know more than Jeffrey Combs. You know more than a lot of the people that speak, because you are a professional procrastinator. You are a seminar junkie. One of the greatest addictions I see people in free enterprise is they go to seminar after seminar. Now, events unequivocally shape your life. I will be the first first to admit, I've been to a lot of events in my life, but I'll tell you what I did. Come Monday, an old song by Jimmy Buffett. Come Monday, I was AIC, ass in chair. It's PT time, produce time, baby. It's LIU, light it up. And if you're in the NFL club, no friends left, no funds left, and not for long, then you got to overcome your anxiety about this word, scarcity. You got to let go of your poverty consciousness. Being an under-earner and an underachiever, that's a whole nother chapter in my book on addictions. I'll be writing the next book that I will be releasing is called The Guilt Factor, followed by The Addiction Factor. Now, tonight's call is dedicated to healing the addicted soul. That means you've got rest in your soul. That means in your past, you've been violated, abused, traumatized, neglected, abandoned, beaten. You become a codependent, you become dependent, and you don't know what independent or undependent means. It means that you're dependent upon your emotional state to continue to create a biochemical craving that you're addicted to, disappointment. And what's most prevalent in your life is disappointment. Your relationships suck. The people you attract to your enterprise are the low-hanging fruit that you can control being disappointed on. You attract a bunch of addicted dieters and product users that drop off the system because they're not really committed because you're not committed, so you can be disappointed. You get ready to get ready, overwhelming yourself on how you're going to handle success one day, exhausting yourself. You're learning meditation. You're learning how to meditate, levitate. But most importantly, you spend a lot of time pontificating. You're spiritual. You're emotional. You learn the law of attraction, but you don't produce dick. That's what happens to most people. They get ready to get ready because they're emotionally addicted to disappointment. But one day, magically, mythically, addicts have a romance. Addicts are very dramatic. Addicts romance suicide. Yes, they do. Addicts romance checking out. Addicts romance going out in style. Addicts romance how someday mythically, magically, they're going to get sober. Yep, that's what I'm going to do. Around the first of the year, I'm going to lick this damn addiction. Actually, what I'm going to lick is a lollipop right now because I am overwhelmed. Think about how I'm going to handle my addiction. Addicts can't fathom not being an addict. Once you become fully chronically addict, you spend most of your day being an addict. Now, what really sucks is when you overcome your addiction, then you shape-shift that addiction into procrastination. I have seen many, many exceptionally enlightened souls work a 12-step program, go to long-term treatment, make it through the entire process of being destitute. I've seen people make the comeback of comebacks, but when it comes to production, they just don't have it because even though they're clean and sober, they haven't addressed the cause that creates the effect, and they will continue to sabotage themselves in multiple ways. Yes, that's right. I am talking to you. You know exactly that I'm talking to you. You know who your nicknames are. You know your acronyms. You know your last names. You know I'm talking to you. Because I'm talking to you because I'm talking to myself because I was there once myself. I couldn't decide whether I was brilliant or whether I sucked. I'd get so much juice some days, I would be on frickin' fire, and by the end of the day, I'd be so exhausted because I'd get so overwhelmed how I was going to pull it off, how I was going to keep it, how I was going to have leads the next day, who was I going to call the next day. Man, I would exhaust myself being exhausted. I know what it's feel like to be in the NFL club, no friends left, no funds left, and not for long. In a state of anxiety called worry, perpetuating, creating fight or flight. Well, this all sounds good, right? But how do I overcome it? Here's how you do it. You do it by taking a deep breath. Anytime you take that deep breath deep into your abdomen, which definitely goes down into your groin, you create a release space. Anytime you take that deep breath, it resets the neurological network, meaning that there's no past and there's no future for about 15 to 30 seconds. That deep breath you take is connected to your sexual energy because you take your breath deep down in there and you create that release. That release creates a dopamine release, so it separates you from the past and lets you go of the anxiety about the future. You are you and you are free. I am me, I am free, for a short period of time in your life. Now, the more that you do that throughout the day, you begin to oxygenate the brain. You start to create a different energetic vibration in your abdomen and in your body. You start to create a different type of sexual energy, not sexuality. You start to change your attractor factor. Then when you start to believe, B-E-L-I-E-V, B-E-L-I-E-F, when you begin to believe in self, when you begin to self-actualize, when you begin to speak into existence, the person you're becoming, when you begin to affirm, to state, when you begin to step into your power, when you start to surround yourself with other like-minded addicts in recovery, that's what Network Marketing, Direct Sales, 12-step program is filled with people in multiple and various 12-step programs, AA, OA, NA, that's Overeaters Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, Alateen for teenagers, when you start to connect with codependent, Al-Anon, CODA, and some of the other groups, Gamblers Anonymous, Debtors Anonymous, Sex and Love Anonymous, Sex Anonymous, when you start to surround yourself in these type of cultures, these types of group, these are people in recovery. And I'll tell you what you cannot do. You cannot have cheat days. Once you decide that you have a challenge, once that you admit and you start to live in this term, rigorous honesty, when you get really clear, really clean, when you start to understand why you do what you do, then you can be honest. When you can put your tongue between your teeth and hold your tongue to keep from lying, you're in the process of recovery. When you can let go of the other addicts in your life that seduce, suck the life out of you, want to drag you back to their addictions, when you can let go of the toxic family members, the matriarchal mothers that use guilt to control you, when you no longer are ruled by guilt. See, the number one addiction that most of you are addicted to is guilt. Your whole life is predicated and based on guilt. You let matriarchal mothers, people in your family, people in your circle of influence use guilt to control you. You operate completely out of guilt, then silently you live in resentment. It's the ultimate contradiction, guilt and resentment. My good friend Brad Mossman, who will be on my call very soon, who's one of the most exceptional people in recovery I've ever had the privilege of mentoring, coaching, and associating with, has a whole cycle called Hurt, Harm, Hate. You can access some of Brad's content on his YouTube channels, on Facebook. He is really skilled at breaking that down. Addicts hate themselves, loathe themselves, have no self-esteem. Addicts use outside sources to try and inflate their confidence. Confidence and self-esteem are distinctly different because you can feel confident and competent about certain situations and still have no self-esteem. When you have no self-esteem, low self-esteem, minimal self-esteem, you will attract people and situations to fulfill your feelings of abandonment and rejection so you can justify being disappointed. And when your self-talk is in the toilet, when you talk about, oh my God, I can't imagine prospecting today, I'm having a really bad day, oh my God, I got up, my hair is fried, oh my God, I have, when that self-talk kicks in, that type of addicted talking, addicts talk like addicts. It's easy to spot an addict because they talk like an addict. Addict talks like addicts because they're addicts. They spend a lot of time putting themselves down, putting other people down. They talk in superlatives about what they can't do. This always happens to me. Of course. You mean all I have to do is just go to a meeting? All I have to do is just prospect? Justify. Addicts don't answer questions. Addicts bait and switch. You ask an addict a question, they'll tell you a story because addicts are pathological liars. That doesn't mean they're bad people. It means that they're so addicted to their story that their story is their story. And those are the typical stories that people say, I have a lot of fear about failing. I really can't call anyone today because I don't really want to be rejected. You know, and I'm really worried about what my friends think. And I go, well, who's your friends? That's what I typically get. Name one friend. Why would one of your friends think anything about you when your friends are already addicts? They're overwhelmed. They're intoxicated emotionally. They're checked out. They're processing. WTF, why would they even care? Why would they care if you joined a business? Why would they care if you're in free enterprise? Typically, they don't. What most of it is a story. What are my family going to think? Well, consider the source. What do most of your family members do? I mean, what do really most of them do? What redeeming qualities do they bring to the world? People who criticize you are highly critical. People who are highly critical are highly judgmental of themselves. They typically have no self-esteem, operate in a low vibrational energy, would rather be right than rich, and find flaws. Now, just tell me, why you'd be concerned with someone like that. Oh, I forgot. They're your family. That's right. And you're too guilty to let go of the people who violate you. That's what most addicts do. Addicts are addicted justifiers. Not only are addicts liars, but addicts like to justify their situation. No, I can't go to that convention. I have fear of flying. No, I can't go to that convention. It's my son's little league holiday. I mean, whatever. Addicts have excuses. Now, there are, unequivocally, there are reasons that people can't do situations. That's when you learn to meet people where they are. But in your inner ear, if you're a leader and a leader grower, it's very important you understand a large percent of the culture that's in your circle of influence is addicted emotionally to disappointment. A large percent of the people in your circle of influence have been traumatized, molested, abused, abandoned, neglected, grew up in dysfunctional homes with passive-aggressive brothers, sisters, parents, bullies. And in the school system today, you can get bullied and traumatized and a whole lot doesn't happen because nobody wants to get involved. Hey, we don't want to mess up our federal funding. You don't understand. You know, you just got to suffer the consequences, baby, because we can't pull this kid out of school because we might lose our funding. This is what happens. A lot of great teachers are dropping out of teaching because they don't have any command of their situation anymore. And the inmates are running the asylum. What does that mean? It means that you got to get really clear on cause and effect, why you do what you do. Now, if you really have the guts, because it takes a lot of courage to address an addiction, you got to be able to face yourself and face the abyss. You got to be able to surrender and let go one day at a time. But most importantly, you got to learn to do this. You got to disassociate yourself from your addiction. That means you got to be able to look at a situation for what it is. If you're a food addict, what does that mean? It means there's no cheat days. It means that if you're an addict, you got to address food the way you address any addiction. There are certain foods that you just can't eat. You can't cheat. And if you're a chronic addict that eats late at night, what does that mean? It means you're on the reward system. Yes, I know all this. I've coached over 60,000 hours, and about 9 out of every 10 hours I coach is someone who has an emotional addiction that underachieves, under-earns, has low self-esteem, and I connect with them because I was once. I'm in recovery 27 years and several wake-up calls, 27 years and 4 months of recovery. I have never relapsed on my drug or drink of choice, but I've also relapsed back into codependency. I was a compulsive spender for about 1 year. I was a compulsive under-earner for about 3 years. When I say I'm clean and sober, I mean, that's context. But the life isn't perfect. It's not about a perfect score. It's about learning how to be effective. It's learning how to not judge yourself. It's learning the four-letter word, love is the answer. Until you begin to love yourself, you'll typically hate yourself. And that's typically the black and white way an addict lives. But when you cross over, when you begin to let go, when you can actually let people see you cry, not because you're a victim, because of the real pain you're in. When you can cry from a release stage, then you're not a victim. When you can connect with people because you feel their pain, and when you can really feel that, that's when you can really lead someone. Because you can't really lead someone until you're out of your head, until you can really identify why people do what they do, until you can meet people where they are, until you have a better understanding of why they do what they do, then you can't really lead. You can only lead a few people at the top. But if you want to be someone of influence and affluence, then you have to be able to put your finger on the pulse of other people's addictions and occasionally challenge them. Challenge them does not mean you're confronting them. Challenging them means sometimes you care enough to confront someone. And when you learn how to do that, then you're sending a whole different message. But if you're hiding in your low self-esteem and you don't have the real courage to move into that space, then you'll have challenges prospecting. And if you have a story about prospecting, oh, I can't do this, I don't want to offend someone, oh my God, I don't want to be judged, I don't want my friends and family who are addicts to think I'm trying to sell them anything, I don't want to bother anyone, that's addict talk. That is how an addict talks. An addict talks like that to justify being a compulsive underachiever. And if you're a compulsive underachiever, haven't you suffered enough? Look at your bank account. Isn't it filled with zeros, less than? And look in your back office. Aren't there a lot of people that you've, or a few people who've dropped off or no longer in the game? And don't you continue to attract the addicted people that you can control or be in charge of, so you can be disappointed. See, when you're an addict, you're going to attract other people to your situation. You're going to attract perpetrators and codependents to fulfill your feelings. So you can say, this always happens to me, and my team never produces anything. Those are the typical situations. Or I'm on that inside, upside down leg with no volume. Well, I'll tell you right now, two of the four women I coached in the last 4 years were not in prime spot in their enterprise. And they did what a good old American red-blooded woman with some guts and courage does. They shut up and produce. When you can do that, when you can silence your inner critic, when you can let go, when you can actually surrender your will to be an addict, then you can begin a process called recovery. Now, I endorse 12-step programs, but I'll tell you what, there's more to a 12-step program. There's more to recovery than 12 steps. I would not even remotely be where I am without a 12-step program, and I can recite the 12-step upside down, forward and backwards. I've said the Serenity Prayer thousands of times. That is an unequivocal, great affirmation. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I've said that thousands of times. I've held my 1-year chip, my 10-year chip, my 20-year chip, my 25-year chip. I would not be who I am without it. But I'll tell you this, you got to be able to go to the wall to really face an addiction. You got to have guts and courage. It takes some intestinal fortitude. You got to take a good look at why you're an underachiever, why you're an under-earner, why you procrastinate, why you get ready to get ready, why you tell yourself ridiculous, stupid, freaking stories, why you do this to yourself, why you break down and cry, why you're a victim, why you tell these stories about what you don't have, what you can't get, who's not giving you the love, why you live in guilt and shame. You have to be able to take a good look at the cause that creates the effect, the events that shape your feelings, and begin a forgiveness program. Most importantly, begin to forgive self. Have a conversation with yourself. I suggest that tonight you write yourself a letter to self. Now, if you want to let me know about this later, you can inbox me. So if you want to say letter to self on tonight before you go to bed, write a letter to self. A letter to self is simple. Make it half a page or less. If you want to really address an addiction, here's one of your affirmations. Everything I do is simple. Now that I'm grown up, I'm learning how to live a very simple, practical, methodical life. Now that I'm grown up, I'm letting go of my chaos, drama, and overwhelmed feelings that keep me addicted. Now that I'm grown up, I no longer require to be in control of the control I'm out of control of. The more you write your own affirmations in present tense, the more likely it is that you will begin a different process of forgiveness, letting go, being present, being available, being emotional, being authentic, being genuine, and being all the synonyms that mean I am. I am in recovery. I am in the process. I am the leader that people are looking for. When you can come from that place, now you are in the hands-free zone. When you're in the hands-free zone, then you're not an addict. You're not consumed with yesterday. You're not in regret, and you're not anxious about tomorrow's story that hasn't even happened. When you are you and you are free, then your energetic vibration begins to change. How do I address an addiction? One thought at a time, one feeling, one breath, one day at a time. How am I going to be able to handle it? You know, the holidays are coming up. The holidays have not happened. And when you say, oh, my God, no one's going to be home. It's a Sunday. It's Easter Sunday. I won't be able to call anyone. Then you've talked yourself out of an opportunity. I'm not suggesting you call on Easter Sunday, but I'm suggesting that a lot of people have a lot of excuses, and they talk themselves out of the opportunity to be wealthy, prosperous, have assets, live a good life, be in the hands-free zone. And if you continue to do that, then you're going to have challenges. You're going to be inconsistent, overwhelmed, unorganized, undisciplined. Addicts are very rebellious. I'm proud of many of you who have commented at many events, many seminars, that many of you have started making your bed. Now, it sounds funny, but it's not. The reason making your bed is important, because it's the first opportunity you have to rebel. That's what many people do. They start their day off in rebellion, saying things like, well, why would I make my bed? I'm going to get in it later. The reason that most people do that is because they don't have a system, they don't have a method, they're not organized, they're overwhelmed, and they live in chaos. Living in chaos is a direct reflection of your emotional state. It means you're overwhelmed. You're overwhelmed emotionally, addicted to a set of feelings that perpetuate a low self-esteem. And low self-esteem, the partners you're going to attract are going to be violators, they're going to be bipolar, they're going to be codependent, they're typically going to have anger issues, they're going to be passive-aggressive, and that's how you'll fulfill your low self-esteem, so you can say, this always happens to me, I'm not good at. When you begin to reinforce how not good at, then you've talked yourself out of an opportunity before you begin. How do I let go? You let go by a decision. Letting go is a choice. You mean that's all I have to do? No, that's not all you have to do. You mean that's just what I do? I just let go? No, you don't just let go. You let go. Letting go is not physical. Letting go is taking a look over the landscape, over the horizon, being able to identify with some of the situations you've done, ask for forgiveness, write letters, let go. Let go of your guilt and shame about the events that have created your low self-esteem. You hold yourself accountable, but you're no longer responsible for the feelings. You have to learn to let go of that which does not serve you. People, places, faces, and spaces. As you begin to let go of what no longer serves you, you learn to let go of guilt, shame, anger, abandonment, overwhelmed feelings, you will begin to change what you attract. It may start off relatively slow, but you have to look at the signs and the clues. Most importantly, if you have the real guts to address your addiction, if you really have that quality called courage that never goes out of fashion, then you have to learn one of the most important words in the English language. I will spell it. P-A-T-I-E-N-C-E, patience. You must be patient. If you want the compounded effect to happen, if you want to be a $100,000 a month income earner, it could happen in a two-year period, provided you start to have an identity that's conducive, you're not emotionally addicted to a set of feelings that keep you sabotaging, you change your attractor factor, you start to develop the skills of your vocation, you devote the proper time and proper energy one day at a time as you create a habit. As you create success habits, millionaire habits, as you become a leader and a leader grower, then you'll create the compounded effect. This may or may not happen overnight. As you start to brand yourself and feel more comfortable, as you let go of the I'm not good enough syndrome, as you learn to let go of who am I to write anything, as you learn to add value to your value, as you start to become valuable, as you start to bring your value to free enterprise, as you start to increase the value of your service, as you start to raise the rates for your value, as you start to value time, and when time becomes valuable, then time becomes a commodity. But when you're an addict, time is a liability. Time is ticking. Time is clicking. Time is a time bomb. You end up at the liquor store buying and sneaking alcohol. I'm a recovering sneak. I used to go to alcohol stores, liquor stores. I used to sneak alcohol. I used to drink other people's alcohol. I used to have a flask, a stash. I had hiding places in public where I would hide alcohol. It's crazy, isn't it? I mean, I have lived an insane life at times. I've hit buildings in blackouts. I've blacked out, had people tell me how I embarrassed myself. I've thrown up in odd places. I woke up in odd places. I once passed out in a nightclub and left the nightclub. They didn't find me. Left the nightclub in the morning. The cleaning people hadn't come in yet. I left in the morning and got arrested for breaking and entering, even though I was leaving the building. That cost me a few days in L.A. County Jail because they couldn't make bail. Those are some of the situations that have happened to me in my lifetime of being an addict. You know what? I am so beyond being ashamed or guilty of the transgressions, the addictions, the situation I did in the past. I've done my best to make reparations, make amends, forgive, and live in that process. Guilt and shame robs you of your identity. When guilt and shame become your identity, who are you going to attract? When you're too guilty to ask for a commitment, ask for a decision, ask for the order, ask for the money, then that leaves you only with the order takers of the world. When you tell yourself you're not good at writing, you can't write a post, who am I to say? I'm shy. I can't put myself out there. What are my friends going to think? You have failed before you've begun. You've relapsed before you've even started. Now you can justify your addiction. When you do this over and over and over, you live in an exhausted, overwhelmed state called addiction. The minute you have the guts, the courage to say the pain is great enough, when you can say, I am so done with this, when you surrender, when you're hands and knees and you are begging for forgiveness, when you go into any 12-step program or you go into any culture where recovery is fostered, prosperity is fostered, it can be in a church, it can be in a 12-step program, it can be in a men's fellowship group, a woman's group, any place where recovery is fostered, now you're in the right place at the right time. When you find yourself in a team of like-minded entrepreneurs who are spiritual, moving forward, you're in the right place at the right time. When you find a company where the owners actually teach, preach, and endorse the recovery process, letting go of weight, letting go of feelings, letting go of emotions, letting go of events. When you're in that kind of circle of influence, you've enhanced the law of average, and the vibrational energy around you sometimes can create the centrifugal force to pull you into sobriety. But when you can continue to drag yourself back down to the hoods and the places where you grew up, when you go back to your crib where you grew up and you hang out with your homies and your pals and your addicted friends, then you're right back where you started your whole process. You have to sometimes let go of people who do not serve you. You have to let go of foods that are not good for you. You have to have no cheat days. You don't get a cheat day when you're an addict. And when you're an addict, you're not living in rigor. You're not living in a rigid life. You're living a free life. Once you start to get sobriety, you will never go back because you realize the pleasure is never worth the pain. When you can let go of those feelings that take you back to those old situations that take you out of your energetic vibration of love, joy, bliss, and enlightenment, when you continue to go back to anger, hate, guilt, resentment, abandonment, rejection, and overwhelmed feelings, then you are an addict. So how do you do it? You do it one day at a time. Well, that sounds too difficult. It's not. It's a choice. But when you make situations difficult, you've relapsed before you started. You've already started the process. I don't know. I look at that telephone. I can't pick it up. I don't know what to say. I can't call someone out of the blue. You're not calling someone out of the blue. They're in a building usually or in a car. And you're not calling out of the blue. Your ass is usually in a chair or a car yourself. Grow up. Get real. Drop the drama. Addicts are very dramatic. They live in big deals. They create big drama, big deals, big dreams, big chaos, big bigs. When you start to become practical, methodical, systematic, and organized, you're letting go of an addiction. When you start to simplify your life and you start to throw out all the clothes you never wear, when you start to downsize, when you start to declutter, when you start to clean up, when you start to feng shui, organize, become disciplined, get an assistant, get a life, get a career, then you're in the process of recovery. But when you're a victim, you'll attract other people to victimize you. When you're a victor, you'll attract other like-minded entrepreneurs, success seekers, people of influence and affluence that you can collaborate with. And what's really interesting is you'll find that some of the most successful people are in recovery. These sometimes when you, it takes a lot of creativity to be an addict. It takes a lot of innovation to be an addict. One of my clients once said, you know, I had a $500 a day habit. Well, factor that. That's $3,500 a week. That's $7,000 for 2 weeks, $14,000 a month. If you have a $500 a day habit, you got to be creative to pull that off. Why couldn't you have a $500 a day entrepreneurial habit? Why couldn't you have a $1,000 a day habit? You can once you become creative and innovative, let go of your anxiety about the outcome, start to address your addictions one day at a time, and allow yourself to become that person you deserve to become. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I am the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. This call was called Healing the Addicted Soul. The more you learn to surrender, let go, be in the present, in the moment, and in the now, the less time you spend overwhelmed, anxious about an outcome that you can't control, and you try and control what you can't control, then you will start to step into a place called recovery. This call is officially recorded. Anyone who wants to get a hold of me directly can do that at 209-932-0227. I look forward to seeing all of you in Cleveland, Ohio, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and Houston, Texas before this month is over. Have a great evening, everyone.